Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you very much, gentlemen of the band, and Mr. Christopher Fritchie, who has to do that three times today. Yay! Good morning, everyone. Some of you have traveled to Bali with the Center for Spiritual Living. Do I have any Bali travelers here? Well, we have visiting with us today the man who is behind the logistic scenes and a friend of mine for 18 years, Mr. Ketut Purna. He's sitting in the back there visiting with us today. Hi, Ketut. Let us do some spiritual practice together. So we did a Google workshop, and they said, take a moment to arrive. What a great invitation. You know, unfold, so that all movement can settle down. And we can begin to become aware of our breathing. So constant. So dependable, so generous, so unconditional, such a gift. And if you haven't already, let your eyes begin to close, not to shut out the world, but simply to focus attention and reduce sensory stimulation. And I'm using some words from our recommended reading, paraphrased, to guide us. Choose to love every part of your being as best you can. Unconditionally, if you can. You are a complex and multi-dimensional being, so loving yourself requires accepting all of your parts seemingly separate. Your personal self, certainly. And also your broader self, the other people in your lives. And even beyond that, the physical world, nature and its beings, and even the world beyond. Through our practice today, we are focusing on the feeling of love. So I invite you to think of someone who you love very, very much. Bring them into your awareness as an image if you can, or just feel them. Imagine that you're sitting having coffee with them. And as you talk, a message from your heart radiates to theirs that says, may you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. And taking a breath in to that heart center, let yourself imagine someone who loves you very, very much. They could be alive today or already passed on, here in the room or elsewhere. And imagine sitting in their presence, and a message of love radiates from your heart to theirs that says, may you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. And taking a breath in, as you exhale, let yourself expand your view to take in our Sonoma County, especially those who have been impacted by the power outages, who may be struggling to recover. And as your heart opens, let it be like a beacon transmitting a message from your heart to theirs that says, may you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. And taking a breath in, as you exhale, let your view expand as in your mind's eye, you imagine all of those who are being impacted by the fires in our state. And staying in close contact with that loving feeling, let your thoughts and feelings and your words and your mind be like a beacon of light to all sentient beings, saying, may you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. And we let these words of our founder, Dr. Holmes, amplify our feelings of love. Everything that lives proclaims the glory of God. Every being who exists manifests the life of God. There is only one spirit in which we live, one mind in which we live, one body of which we are part, one light that lights every being's pathway. And so we are using our feelings of love as a light today. And so I invite you right now to think of someone in your life who is struggling. And from your heart, in your mind, say to them silently, I love you. I bless you. And I set you free from all expectations. And breathing in, as you exhale, think of someone in your life who you are concerned about. And from your heart center, let these words silently be a light for them as you say, I love you, I bless you, and I set you free from all expectations. Then taking a deep breath in, feeling this atmosphere of love and safety and connection, I invite you now to think of someone in your life who challenges your center of peace. And having amplified your center of love and drawing upon all of the compassion and love in the room, let these words silently in your heart ring as an anthem of willingness as you say in your mind eye silently to this person, I love you. I bless you. And I set you free from all expectations. And as we draw this moment of practice to a close, let yourself remain centered in the love that you have generated and also the love that was present before you even started. To keep in mind that the love that you generate is not of your own creation, but of something that persists and is everywhere present all of the time. And so it is. I wanted to start today with that meditation because, as I shared with you last week, I visited the Kingdom of Bhutan, which is a Buddhist nation. And one day our group went to visit the great Buddha Dordemna. It's a huge Buddha statue. You can see over there, the tiny people in the front are people from our center. So it gives you some idea of the scope of the statue. Now, we couldn't take our cell phones and cameras inside. So I have to describe to you what it's like going inside there. Inside the great Buddha, there are 100,000 or more smaller Buddhas. Bronze, gilded, in a gallery all around. And the idea is the images serve as an amplification of loving kindness and compassion, which is the message of Buddha. This is the city of Thimphu, which is the capital of Bhutan. Our group was able to go inside the Buddha and sit with a lama. A lama is a spiritual teacher. And he initiated us into the use of the chant, Om Mani Padme Hum. Now this chant, it is believed among Buddhists, is able to activate generosity of spirit, ethical behavior, patience, diligence, spiritual mental focus, and wisdom. So it's a good chant to chant. Now, when I said we were initiated into the chant, what does that mean? The best way I can think of describing it is like when you get a new credit card in the mail and you can't use it yet. You know, you have to call the number on the back or go on the web. You have to activate it. You have to make the connection and verify so that it is usable and functional and effective. That's what it means to be initiated into the use of a chant. So the way it worked with our group and the Lama, three things happened. First, he gave us spiritual instruction. I'll tell you about that in a moment. And second, he said prayers for us to get us in the right direction. And then third, we did the practice. We sat, and according to custom, we repeated Om Mani Padme Hum 108 times. There was a fourth part too. He blessed us afterwards. It was quite extraordinary. Now, the lesson part I want to talk to you about, the lesson of the Lama, he emphasized in the lesson the importance of focusing your loving kindness, your intention of loving kindness, outward, away from self. He told us not to be so concerned about focusing on ourselves, but instead that when we start our practice, whatever it is, to begin first thinking of all sentient beings and imagine them in health, in happiness, in freedom. And then the second step is to focus on our mothers and our fathers, and then our loved ones, and then our teachers, and to imagine them happy and well and free. And then, he said, and most importantly, is to focus our loving kindness on those people that we have trouble with. Actually, the way the Lama said it was, focus on those people you still hate. Right? He just got straight to it. Do you include in your spiritual practice those people you still hate? The master teacher said, it's easy to love the people you already like. The real work is to go where it is difficult to go. He said that when we focus on others, if something wonderful happens, it generates a goodwill that through our connectedness will eventually come round and bless us anyway. So we don't have to, he said, be very concerned with our own personal needs with this particular practice. In fact, he advised us to offer up our energy and our practices on an ongoing basis for the ending of suffering of all people and all beings, and to take just a moment, like we did this morning, just a moment every day on behalf of those people and beings. He said it's very important for us to focus on love and compassion, because when a sentient being has that, love and compassion, they don't need anything else. He was delightful. When he was giving us the instruction, he instructed us, you must recite the mantra 108 times a day or more. Then he adjusted that down. He said, or just do it a few times while you are focusing on love and compassion like we did this morning. Like when you're on the bus or when you're in an Uber going somewhere. Then he adjusted that down. He said, or just say it once if you can. And when you say it, try to feel the love and compassion as you say the words. And then he said playfully, but really, try to say the mantra all the time. And try to feel love and compassion all the time. And you know who else said that we should pray without ceasing. Now the last word of that chant, Om Mani Padme, hum. That word has many meanings, many layers of meaning. One of the layers of meaning, it is said that this word by itself, hum, has the ability to remove the blocks that arise from emotional affliction, emotional suffering. Now, I nearly missed an important point in the teaching. It doesn't remove emotional suffering. It removes the blocks. It doesn't remove emotional affliction. It removes the blocks that prevent us from moving through and around and past suffering. In other words, in Buddhism, there is no denial of suffering, that suffering happens. Maybe suffering is out of our control. But removing the blocks, looking at the blocks, addressing, maybe that is something that we can work with now that we know how to practice. So what are the blocks? Well, in Science of Mind, we learn that a block is thinking and believing that suffering is permanent. Thinking and believing that sorrow is permanent. Thinking and believing that anguish is permanent. what we learn at the center and in many religions in the world, Hinduism, Buddhism, many religions, is that there is only one thing that is permanent. We call it by many names, ultimate reality, the divine, Brahman, God, the Oversoul, the ground of all being, and it persists no matter what. And we can't cling to it, we can't control it, it just is. It persists while everything else moves. So now we must explore, what does it mean to say it persists? Well, we must think of that old phrase, this too shall pass. That's the meaning of hum. You know, it describes how everything moves while reality stays the same. This too shall pass is a very old phrase. It comes from a 19th century Persian story, a retelling of a Persian story. And actually, Abraham Lincoln used the story to illustrate a point he made before he became president in September 30th in 1859. So I brought his quote with. It is said an Eastern monarch once charged his wise people to invent for him a sentence, to be ever in view, and which would be true and appropriate in all times and all situations. The wise people presented him the words, and this too shall pass away. How much it expresses. How chastening in the hour of pride. How consoling in the depths of affliction. Pride can distract us. Accomplishment, success, challenges grab our attention in the same way. The things of life. You know, there is a story in Buddhism about Buddha. This may have been elaborated over time a bit. But as Buddha was contemplating the inner path of peace and he was approaching enlightenment, the demon king, whose name is Mara, got a little bit upset because he believed that enlightenment was his right, not Buddha's. So he planned to distract Buddha from enlightenment by sending his three beautiful daughters to dance. The daughters' names are interesting. They mean such things as discontent, greed, longing, attachment, yearning. That's what they mean. And so there they come, greed, attachment, and they're dancing right there alongside Buddha while he's meditating on the inward path of peace. But it doesn't work. Buddha stays on the inward path of peace. The demon God gets so mad and he starts to drum up a vast army of frightening monsters to scare Buddha and distract him from his path. And yet, still he sits serenely, untouched, inwardly focused on peace. Later, as one of the elaborations of the story goes, one of the students of Buddha said, "That is so amazing, during that moment of trial, you didn't even notice." And Buddha said, "Oh, I noticed. I just didn't follow them." That's the meaning of hum. This too, whatever it is, shall pass. Don't follow it. Just notice. Notice it. And remain still. And then while you sit still, call to mind someone, anyone. And from your heart to theirs, may you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. Now, the point of the Mara story is not to ask if he, the demon god, and his three daughters were real beings. Did it actually happen? But more to understand and to ask ourselves, yourself. What does the demon king Mara represent in my own life? What turbulent obsessions distract me from the path of inner peace? What hot opinions distract me from the path of loving kindness? What fears frighten me so that I'm distracted from the path of inner peace? What self-harm do I do through talk that is violent? And then to notice it's happening. It's there. It's real. But to stay on the path of peace anyway. Don't follow the distractions on the downward path. Now, some Buddhists say that when you and I are grasping at something, success, being right, possessing something, in that moment, the demon king Mara is standing beside us, tempting us. So when you notice, yeah, that's happening, it's real. Now you have something that you can do. You breathe in and you say, Ahum, and call to mind someone, anyone, particularly someone you still hate, and say, I love you, I bless you, and I release you from all expectation. Now, I invite you to take a moment with me to breathe in and to exhale into a moment of quiet contemplation. And imagine with me now all of the accumulated goodwill generated by generations and generations of kind-hearted people practicing, like a lens focusing the heart of creation, till it vibrates with a universal message, one that is intended for each one of us. That says, may you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. Take another deep breath in with me like this, followed by a sigh. If you're visiting with us, you know that this month, October, is special to us. We have a little public service announcement each week in October talking about the plans we have for next year, the year 2020. Some of you heard our teen, Dylan Johnson. Do you remember? He came and spoke to us about everything he learned picking cotton from a... We sent him out to go and learn it. What do you call that? A scholarship. That's what it is. Well, we plan to continue providing such things as teen group and dynamic age-appropriate youth and family program. You heard also today that our Anne Galbraith is retiring. We have some changes in staff happening. And so we plan to sustain and increase and revitalize our staff for the greater good. That we've got a plan for that. You also heard last week the 12 nonprofit partners that we selected for 2020. We plan to continue that program, and we plan to continue hearing from you about the organizations that warm your heart and synchronize with your values. So we'll start looking for 2021 soon. We've also seen, you may not even have noticed it, but we painted the sanctuary and we painted the social hall. So we plan to continue revitalizing our beautiful Center for Spiritual Living, including some much needed equipment for our music ministry. And we also plan to expand our outreach on the web. More classes online, in particular for those people who can't travel at night or live in other cities. And we're planning to start small in-home groups for spiritual study and connection and conversation. And we're planning 4 lunchtime learning sessions. You know what that means? On a Wednesday, you show up with your own bag lunch, and for an hour, we have a focused presentation and sharing and collaboration. It's going to be lovely. We're also planning to celebrate again Black History Month. This time we're adding Women's History Month and interfaith holidays. And we're also planning to continue our 5th Sunday community potluck based on the success that we had in the last one. In other words, we're planning to continue listening to you. Everything that we're doing is a result of feedback and accumulating the wishes and the desires and the interests of our people when they tell us what contributes to their spiritual life. Now, I can't, you can't, we can't please everybody, but together we are creating something so wonderful here. I'm going to invite the musicians to come up on the stage, because I'm ending up by reminding you to turn in your giving intention plan for this year. And when you do, you may receive a beautiful book to guide you through 2020, Beyond 2020 Spiritual Vision, a book of 365 affirmations to guide you through the year. Also, you will receive an invitation to the Santa Rosa Symphony Youth Orchestra Chamber Players. They're coming here to perform for us. The players will be right here. They will circulate among us. We'll be able to talk to them. This is an exclusive concert. You cannot buy a ticket for it. It is a gift to those who turn in a giving intention form. There is a front piece for you to keep to remind you. And there is a back piece which you must turn in so that we can reserve a seat for you. When I speak again, I will share with you the plans for what we are going to be studying in 2020 under our theme, Beyond 2020 Spiritual Vision. And I think it's very exciting. And now it is time for our offering. I invite the ushers to stand. And won't you please take your gift in your hand, or if you gave electronically, place your hand on your heart as a sign of your heart connection to your giving, and say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.